Why is God doing this? He's doing this because he's for freedom. He's for freedom. You were built to be free. Let them be free. You should be free. Your family should be free.
Good morning. It's good to see you guys. My name is John Hutchison. I'm a pastor here. And if it's your first time joining us on Sunday, welcome. I'm really expectant for what the Lord's going to share with all of us this morning. If you've been around here for the last couple months, we've been focusing on the word awakened and specifically focusing on awakened to freedom. And today we're going to look at a psalm that describes freedom that comes from living and trusting in God's protection and security as you abide in him. But before we go any further, let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Lord, I just ask right now that you would just open everybody up right now, open their hearts up to hear and to receive what you're gonna say to them, Lord. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus that as we listen to the word, that we'll leave this morning with so much hope and so much joy and love for you because of how faithful you are to us. We thank you, Lord. Increase your glory in here this morning. We love you in Jesus' name, amen. Over the last 10 years or so, at the beginning of each year, I've started my year off with some form of a fast. A fast to just kind of set myself up, to dedicate the first part of the year, but also set myself up to just hear from what the Lord is saying and just to get wisdom for my family, for myself personally. And I mean, everyone obviously knows fasting is difficult. It's not supposed to be easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But what fasting does, it does create a hunger on the inside of you, yes. But even more so, it creates a spiritual hunger, like an actual hunger for God, for you to pursue more of God. That's what fasting is intended to do. And if you find yourself maybe stagnant right now in your faith, maybe consider fasting because that thing will break off of you with a fast. Well, just the last couple years here at our church, we have started the year off with a 40-day fast, specifically fasting and praying into what the Lord is gonna do during our More Love, More Power conference. And that's a really special time, just lifting up the conference and believing that God's going to pour his spirit out in a new way and bless our community. And so as I was preparing for that fast, so let's rewind a little bit, December of 2025-ish, I'm preparing for the church-wide 40-day fast. I'm excited to fast. I had a lot of anticipation, me and my wife. There's a lot of prayers and things that we're believing the Lord to speak to us on. So we're really hungry for God to speak to us. I was reading old books of just like church history stuff, revivalists, men and women of God who prayed and fasted and actually saw breakthrough. And so I was, again, trying to just basically hype myself up for this fast. And really looking forward to it, mapping everything out. Here's a little bit more context for where we're going. I feel like it's relevant. Before the fast started, I felt that I was supposed to, the Lord kind of put it on my heart, that I was supposed to reach out to a handful of people and ask them to pray for me each week of the fast. To pray for me personally, to pray for my family, pray for protection for my family, and that I would just hear whatever it is that God wants to speak to me during that time. Now, I'll be honest, it was super awkward for me to ask because, I mean, it just feels weird to be the guy who's, hey man, can you pray for me during this 40-day fast? You know, it just kind of felt a little bit weird. I'd never really done that before, but I did it. And super thankful for a lot of you who are even in this room who prayed for me and my family during that time. And I was like, wow, this is gonna be a good fast, right? I got people praying for me, this is cool. I ordered some new books to read, you know, keep myself busy during the time. I bought a prayer journal that's, I could pray and write down my thoughts and things like that. Each day of the fast have kind of a memory of what God was saying. I was super excited. It was set up to be a good fast, full of anticipation, right? And I really, truthfully, I needed a fresh touch from God. I I needed to break the Christian autopilot switch that flips on in our life sometimes if we're not careful. I kind of had to break that thing off. I kind of felt myself coasting a little bit, and I didn't want to destroy that thing. And so, really excited. Now, what I wasn't prepared for was how difficult these 40 days would be. I'm not exaggerating when I say this. It was the hardest 40 days, 1 through 40, maybe that I've ever experienced. Like, I know it kind of sounds dramatic, but for whatever reason, it was just really tough. A lot of chaos during that time period. And I've just never experienced that kind of spiritual warfare before. And, you know, I want to be clear. We believe in spiritual warfare. We believe in the spirit realm for sure, 100%. And at times, you know, me and my wife, we'd have tough seasons, and we just want to be careful labeling a hard season as spiritual warfare, because we believe in it, but we've been around people who just, you know, maybe make some silly decisions and then they just label it as spiritual warfare, but really it's just a poor choice. So it was kind of an interesting experience for us, because we're like, man, so many things are happening right now that are not normal for our life. What is going on? And there were a couple things that happened, and we're thinking, yeah, this could be some kind of an attack, some kind of warfare here. So we needed to approach it that way. For example, I mean, there were just attacks on my family, on our health. Everybody got sick multiple times, and like weird sicknesses, not just the flu, like weird things. On day four of the fast, my wife woke up. She couldn't put any weight on her foot. Something happened to her foot. She couldn't walk. She's like hopping around the house and crawling at times, right? That's difficult when you have a 4-year-old and a 1.5-year-old to stay home with them and to try to get around the house with one foot, right? But it's deeper than that, right? There was financial hits. We had relational tension, fractures there. My marriage was targeted. My character, my word were targeted and questioned. Things I work incredibly hard to protect, my word and my marriage, targeted. Even members of my extended family were even affected during this 40-day period. And I could keep going on the list, but the point isn't the list. The point is, what do you do when you have a list like that? How do you navigate that? And it was just bizarre. And honestly, one of the hardest things was it was emotionally draining. It was physically exhausting, because we're picking up pieces from things, and the next thing you know, something else falls. So we're running over here trying to grab these. These are picking up. We're tired. We're not sleeping. Our kids aren't sleeping. We're sick. We're hurting. All kinds of stuff. Just thing after thing after thing after thing. It was so weird. And I don't know, maybe some of you in here have been in a situation like that, where you're thinking, I don't know why everything is just bad right now. I'm not sure what's going on, right? Maybe you thought, I don't know if I'll be able to recover from this. Well, let me just pull back here for a second. How many of you are familiar, probably should be every hand in here, with the show Survivor? Come on, yeah, good show. We binged it during 2020 COVID, got caught up to season 50. It's a good show, check it out. But there's this one part of the show that where the tribe, they go to tribal council, and Jeff has this quote. And every time I hear the quote, I'm not trying to be weird here, every time I hear it, I kind of feel God, which is just interesting. I'm gonna read it, and you guys hear, you know, just let it speak for itself. This is what Jeff says. He says, "Behind each of you is a torch. Grab a torch and approach the flame. Dip it in and get fire. This is part of the ritual at tribal council, because in this game, fire represents your life. And when your fire's gone, so are you." Right. Come on, don't let that fire go out, right? And I'll be honest though, since this year, 2026, the torch that I have carried, my passion for God, my love for God, like my desire, my flame was low. I had a low flame. And I just want to take a second here. How many people in here, you'd be honest by a show of hands, you would say that right now, the torch that you're carrying, your fire for God, your passion for God, your love for God, How many of you would say that that flame is low? By a show of hands, just be honest. Right. Now, if you'd be so bold as to stand up, we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray right now. Just stand up, open your hands. If you're close to them, just extend your hand to them. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, you see everyone standing here, Lord. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would, right now, you would blow a fresh wind on the fire in their hearts, Lord. The torch that they've been carrying, for whatever reason, the flame is low. Lord, breathe on them right now, in Jesus' name. Let your spirit well up on the inside of them, Lord. Holy Spirit, with your eyes of fire, look at them. You see them, Lord. Increase the desire to be with you, to be in your presence, Lord. That today, their season would change right now with their boldness. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you for standing. We all face real issues, real challenges. I mean, the spectrum's huge, right? You have financial issues, health crisis, your son, your daughter, split relationship there. They don't talk to you. They're falling away from God, right? Relational tension, workplace issues, your boss, all kinds of stuff. And I mean, even the issues around the globe right now can give us anxiety, can create a chaos in our life and a storm in our life. I mean, even in our own community, we just heard there was a situation, a chaotic situation that took place. We can't get away from this stuff sometimes. It just happens, right? Out of our control sometimes. We're not immune to these things. But what do you do when they happen? How do you navigate these situations when they happen? And I want to walk through that today. And this is exactly what Psalms 91, it speaks so powerfully to. The psalm addresses the very fears and anxiety that we experience. And the psalm offers us something different. For example, God shields and protects those who trust in him. That's a promise. The psalm paints a picture of the confidence and the security that come from dwelling in the presence of God and living under what the psalm calls the shadow of the Almighty. There's a safety there. There's coverage there. And this is what we're gonna look at today. I'm gonna kind of go verse by verse, unpack each verse a little bit. I won't get to all of them in depth, but that's kind of where we're gonna go this morning. And one thing I wanna make sure we all understand that we're all on the same page here. This Psalms 91, it isn't claiming that God's people will never face troubles, attacks, or hardship. That's not what it's saying. What it does promise is something deeper, that when those things do come, they will not ultimately destroy those who place their trust in God. When God's people face danger, they can trust him. And I know people are at all different places of life, different age ranges and everything. This psalm is for everybody. This is for everyone, right? You might be super young and you might not have faced a lot of stuff yet. Well, just wait, right? This psalm's for you. Right, you might have lived through all kinds of crazy stuff. It's still for you. The promises are still true today. Psalms 91 is an Old Testament text. And this one in particular is a messianic psalm, which essentially just paints this picture of Jesus. Jesus trusted in God the Father and walked in perfect obedience. Because Jesus did that first, we can do that. Let's just talk about trust really quick. This is kind of a piece together definition. But trust is the confident reliance on someone's character and faithfulness, placing your confidence in them and depending on them because you believe they are reliable and trustworthy. And this is who God is. God makes his promises to his people, and he remains faithful to those promises even when people struggle and fail. And then we respond with trust, love, and obedience. Now this text, Psalms 91, has been kind of more of an anchor text for me and my family in the last several months, as well as I did Isaiah 53 and a ton of others, right? And so in no way am I trying to stand up here and say I'm an expert at this. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I want to say. But I felt in my heart to just kind of share how we've walked through this crazy season. And hopefully my prayer is that some of you in here, maybe you can pull from something that is shared from the word or something that I say, you can pull from that and actually apply it to your life when you go through seasons of chaos and storms. Sound good? All right, praise God. All right, turn to Psalms 91. If you have your Bibles, it's right after Psalm 90 and before Psalm 92. Praise God. Yeah, you never know. The verses will be on the screen as well as we go here. Verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So this verse is the core to the psalm. It's the foundation of this whole psalm. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. This isn't a visit every so often. This isn't like a casual touch point with God here and there. That's not what this is saying. It's saying dwell, abide. We don't want a casual friendship with God. Nobody in here wants a casual relationship with God. We want true friendship, true connection with God. And that comes as we abide in Christ. John 15 tells us that, Jesus tells his disciples in John 15 that we're to abide in Christ and actually bear fruit as Christians. As sons and daughters of God in this room, there should be fruit that comes from your life because you abide in Christ. Psalm 91, John 15. John 15, verse 6, it says, much fruit. So it's not like you do a couple good things and you're good. It's much fruit. Like everything that you do for God, whether you're in ministry or you're not and you're serving, you're doing all these things, it's good. We love that. We actually celebrate that. But your internal world, if it's a disaster or if you're not spending time with God, you're not abiding, what kind of fruit is coming from your life? If you're not connected to the vine, but you're still bearing fruit, what kind of fruit are you bearing? So this just tells us, it just reminds us again, dwell, abide. You abide in Christ, you get good fruit, much fruit, right? That's our core purpose as Christians, is to bear fruit. And how do we do this? We become Christ-like, we dwell, we abide. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do any of this apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 2, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. A refuge is a place of rest, comfort, safety. I'll touch on this in a little bit, but he is rest, comfort, and safety. Some of you need to hear that actually. The fortress is a place of defense. So the enemy cannot get you unless he first destroys the fortress, which is obviously not gonna happen. It's impossible, right? That's not gonna happen. That fortress is not coming down. The Lord, the fortress, is not coming down. Verse 3, he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Right, okay, so a snare is obviously a trap. And a fowler, I've read this verse several times in my life, and I didn't really, I mean, obviously a fowler is something with a bird, but I looked it up and it's a bird catcher, would you know, right? And the pictures I saw was the snare is kind of like a fishnet type of a thing. So they throw that fishnet up, the fowlers, and then the birds fly into the net and get stuck. It's actually not a good image. It looks pretty rough. And so we don't want to get snared by the enemy. Satan is actually out to trap you. He will do anything for you to abort the call and the plan of God on your life. Whatever it has to be, whatever chaos, storm, anything to pull you away from the shelter of the Most High, he's gonna try to do. But how many of you know that Satan has been defeated? Jesus has the victory, right? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. The enemy is not even in the conversation. But he's gonna try to twist your mind up to think that he has more power than God. It's not true. He's not at all equal to Jesus. Jesus has all authority. We cannot forget that. In your situation, in the chaos, in the storm, all of it, Jesus has the authority. And if you're snared today, there is freedom. There's so much freedom today. And if you haven't been snared in a while, praise God, the Holy Spirit's gonna continue to be faithful to lead you around the snares. He'll do that for all of us. That's why spending time with God and hearing his voice and discerning what he's saying to you is so important, because he will lead you around the snares. He'll tell you, like, hey, that's a trap. Don't go into that store. Don't talk to that person. Don't text that guy back. Don't watch that show by yourself at night. It's a snare, right? That's what he's trying to say. If we're listening, we're gonna avoid the snares. Pestilence means plague. Sin obviously is the ultimate plague. And when we choose to engage with the plague of sin, even when we know the damages it causes, the Lord is still faithful to deliver you. He's so faithful to deliver you. You cry out to God with a heart of repentance, asking God to forgive you of your sin. You cry out to God. He is faithful to deliver you. He will reach into your situation with his righteous right hand, and he will pull you out of what you're in. He's faithful. Verse four is awesome. He'll cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. I had to look up pinions, but it's the edge of the wing. So the pinions are here, and then the wing obviously is here. He'll cover you. Again, there we see refuge, rest, and safety. There's safety, rest under the wings of the Lord, right? And if you think of like a bird, like a bigger bird, right? A big bird, and not the yellow bird, but if you think of a bird, right? And you're under the wing of the bird. Look how close you are to the heart, to the center. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what the psalm is saying here, is that get under his wing and be close to him. That's where you'll find refuge. That's where you'll find safety. If you're way out over here fighting a storm, trying to make it, you just won't make it. You're just gonna get so cloudy in your head and make up. I mean, that's what happened to me over the last couple months at times. It's like, man, sometimes I drift over here and I'm making up all these scenarios and my mind's going crazy. It's like, I'm not close to the Lord. I need to get close to Jesus, abide with him, be under his wings, under the shelter of God, and that's where the security is. And Jesus, I love Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. He says, come to me, all you who are weary, heavy burdened, come to me, I'll give you rest. He says, here, take the yoke I have, take this yoke, give me yours, I'll take it, my yoke gives you rest. That's what he says here. Again, as you abide in Christ and you carry the yoke of Jesus, you have rest, even in the midst of storms. Even as we're trying to pick up all these pieces in our life and trying to make sure everything's good and just all this stuff, he's saying, come to me, give me all that. I'll give you rest. Jesus knows what it feels like to be misunderstood, to be lied about, to be disrespected. He knows grief. He's familiar with all that stuff. He knows sadness. He knows exactly what that's like. And even in that, as Jesus took on all that, he carried the cross on his broken body. He knows all of it, all that heaviness, he knows. And Jesus broke through. And because he did, we can too. Along, right with the Holy Spirit, we can too. That's what he's saying here. You'll experience a clarity and a rest as you live under the yoke of Jesus, under his wings. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. That's just great, right? I mean, the faithfulness of God, right, is a shield. Verse 5, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. I mean, 24 hours a day, right? Morning, night, God's got you. Verse 6, pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. We all know this, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. I'm not gonna take too much time on these verses, but there's a perspective and a clarity that comes as you dwell in the presence of God, you abide in Christ, you see things from a different vantage point. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, right? You're maintaining daily connection with God. You're spending time in his presence. You're checking in throughout the day. Your affection for God, you're giving that to him all throughout the day. Because you've done that, because you do that, and you're consistent in that, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. You know, I don't understand angels that much. I obviously know and believe they're real. And yes, there's probably dozens in here right now. And what it's saying, they're here for our protection. We know that. Even in Psalm 103, it says that the angels carry out the word of God. So at the very least, regardless of the situation that you're in, declare the word of God as often as you can in good times and bad times. We know that the Bible says that the word of God is like a hammer. It's just so powerful. It destroys rocks, right? It's powerful. It's alive. Declare this in the situation that you're in. Declare God's word. This will give you strength and hope. Verse 12, on their hands, they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. An adder is a venomous snake. Verse 14, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. He is you. Because you hold fast to God in love, he will deliver you. I will protect him because he knows my name. There's seven things in here from 14, 15, and 16 that we can pull from, that we read here and we can pull from. And who does deliverance come to? Those who set their love on God. Those who actually dwell in his presence, they abide with Christ, they live under the shadow, under his wing, right? That's a place of comfort and safety. Deliverance is yours. And how often can we set our attention on God? What does that look like? And I mean, I could talk for a long time about that, right? But it's just having a consistent time where you spend it with God every day. And that builds, that history builds, that sensitivity to his presence and his voice, it builds over time. This is for everybody. I don't care if you just walked in the door or you've been part of the church for a long time. Consistency, it's important. Spending time with God matters. Verse 15, did I read that already? Verse 15, when he calls me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him, right? Jesus, if you're a Christian and the Lord has saved you, he has delivered you. That's the ultimate deliverance from sin, out of darkness into light. And today, some of you might experience that. You might be thinking, man, I'm kind of tired of fighting this thing on my own and trying to row through this storm by myself. Like, I need God. And today, there's salvation for you today. The Lord will set you free today as you surrender. He rescued us. Verse 16, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. A fantastic psalm. And this is for all of us who dwell in the shelter of the Most High and abide in his shadow. As we hold fast to the Lord in love, he is faithful to do exactly what the psalm says. He is faithful. The Lord is faithful. No matter what situation you're in, this is for you. He's faithful. I don't know if you could count the seven things that were in these last couple of verses, but this is for those who dwell and abide. One, he will deliver you. He will protect you. He will answer you. He will rescue and honor you. He will satisfy you and he will show you his salvation. That's who God is. This is for you. This is for everybody here. Psalm 91 is a declaration of God's character and his commitment to those who genuinely seek refuge in him. It's available to every single person here today. Jesus, he never told us that we would live a life free from troubles or hardships. He never ever said that, but he did say, he said the exact opposite really, but he did say that I'll be with them. Jesus has, he walked through all kinds of troubles and hardship. He said, I will be with you when you go through stuff. I'll be with you. John 16, Matthew 28, these are chapters that we can see this in. James chapter 1 says, take joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing, it produces perseverance. The testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance is needed in the life of the believer for your faith in God to grow. Perseverance is needed. How do you take joy in troubles? I know it almost sounds offensive because I'm well aware of what people, just things that people can go through. I totally understand that. And I actually don't even know how to explain. I don't understand that, but somehow it's possible. The Bible says that it was the joy set before Jesus that he endured the cross. There's something about taking joy it sounds crazy, right? Taking joy in a tough situation. Somehow, it's supernatural, it's the Holy Spirit. But that strengthens you. It strengthens your faith. And then we get to just trust God that he's gonna continue to be faithful as we carry on through that trial. The comfort is in the companionship. The comfort you're seeking in this chaos and the storm, again, it might not be some of you now, but at some point, that comfort is in the companionship with God. The Lord draws very close to those who need him, extremely close. Now, we can all ask this question. How would your relationship with God change if you stopped expecting him to prevent hardship and instead expected him to sustain you through it? Spiritual resilience, it isn't built in emergencies through desperate prayer, but it's built through consistent daily connection and experiential knowledge with God's character. That's how you build spiritual resilience. Now, God still hears desperate prayers. I pray desperate prayers all the time, right? He still hears those. But that resilience, that strength, that comes through consistency. When you have experiential knowledge, you the word, you've seen the word come through, you're getting prayer, you're being blessed by that. You have all these things to pull from. You're like, yeah, no, this is who God is in the midst of this chaotic situation I'm in. I have so much experience with the Lord's faithfulness that I'm not even gonna think twice. I'm not even gonna think any other way. And it takes time. Like it takes growing. I'm aware of that, but it's available though. You don't know what's in you until you get backed into a corner. Now I want to say this as clearly as I can. Everybody in here, myself included, like we need to get alone with God. We need to get alone with God. We need to spend time in his presence, abiding with him. So that when the storm comes, like we know what to do, right? We know where to go. We know how to navigate it. We're not just gonna get tossed overboard because the storm comes. You cannot put a price on dwelling and abiding. You cannot put a price on that. This is what the whole entire psalm is saying, that under the shadow, it's about safety. It's about the safety that comes from living near the presence of God. The one who dwells near him finds refuge under his covering. Remember that survivor analogy that maybe some of you liked, some of you didn't? This is how you keep that torch lit. This is how you keep that torch lit. As you dwell, you abide. You're under his covering. No matter what situation comes your way, you can trust in God's faithfulness. That's why we want to know this thing really well. We want to know this as best we can. I mean, it's more than just a quick touch point every single day. Like, oh, 15 minutes here, boom, I'm done. No, this thing is powerful. I want you to just take a couple seconds here. Actually, you know what? Let's go ahead and stand. We'll transition into worship here, and I'll walk you through something here really quickly as we go into worship. You know, one of the ways that we can dwell in God's presence and dwell in Christ is through worship. Worship is an incredibly powerful experience that we can have with God. And I want you to just close your eyes and open your hands, everybody. And those of you who maybe you're in a storm right now, like you, there's chaos in your life. You're in this boat and that thing's rocking around, right? I want you to hold that right in front of you. I want you to hold that situation in front of you and give it to God. Say, Lord, I trust you in this situation. I don't even know how to trust you in this situation, but I believe in what you said in Psalm 91. I believe that you are faithful. I believe that you will deliver me. Just in your own heart, just say that to the Lord. There's some of you in here who you might not be in a storm right now. You might not be in a tough spot right now. I want you guys to hold out your thankfulness for God delivering you in previous seasons. Hold that out in front of you and thank God for delivering you. When you were backed into a corner, you didn't know how to get out of the situation you were in, the Lord came through and broke through for you. One of the names of God in the Old Testament is the Lord who breaks through. And he is faithful. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence here. Lord, would you move in our hearts as we lift up our love and our worship to you, Lord. You are so faithful. We have so much to thank you for, Lord. You're so wonderful. Let your glory increase in this room today, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would encounter every single person as they worship you, that as they sing from their heart, they'll be met with your love. We love you, Lord. We thank you. Amen. Let's worship.